The High Court, as I said earlier on in Pretoria, is currently hearing the urgent bit about the National Assembly Speaker. But before that, you may be a reporter and on a rush to court right now. Mvangeli will tell us how the roads look. Mvangeli, how are the roads?
Well, we just have one major reported incident, Thabo. It's in Amalgam. It's a collision on Main Reef Road westbound before Dorado Avenue, causing heavy delays from Church Street. You can use Albertina Sisulu Road, albeit peak congestion. In Bramfontein, increasing pressure on Bertha Street, De Pierre Street, as well as Volmaran Street. Malibonga Drive seeing stop-and-go traffic in both directions between Stratum Park and Cosmo City. Budget at least 15 minutes on that route, while in Ekurhuleni, early peak time delays on the R24 Albertina Sisulu Highway, heading west between Edenville Road and the Galulis Interchange. If there's anything else, please SMS on 31702.
Walking the talk.
This is 702.
702.
Nosiviwe Mapisa Nqakula, the Speaker of the National Assembly, is alleged to have benefited from tender kickbacks of over 2 million rands during her tenure as the Defence Minister. Currently, the matter is in court, not the real contents, but the interdict against the National Prosecuting Authority from arresting her. To help us understand the issues, because they can get very cloudy, Zugi Swakotwa, Program Head at the Public Accountability Monitor at Rhodes University. Zuge Sokota, thanks very much for joining us. Welcome to 702.
Thank you. Thank you for the opportunity to engage with yourself and your listeners.
Zugisa, we take these matters very lightly, but given the age of social media and over-communication, we can easily lose track of the accuracy of issues before the court. What is before the court right now? It's not the contents of the case, right? It's the interdict leading thereto, but please say more about that.
Yeah, that's correct. So at the moment, what the Speaker has sought to do is to essentially, put forward an interdict to prevent her arrest, which is part of the Criminal Procedures Act. So that's where things stand, and this is not the formal investigation as per the, NPA's case.
This sounds a little bit strange, and I'm not going to pretend that I have any certificates whatsoever in the legal fraternity, but Zugiswa, is someone allowed to stop the police from arresting them or the authorities from pressing charges against them? It sounds a bit odd, and ventilating upon this, it could be one of its kind.
Yeah, I'm actually also not necessarily in a position to weigh in on the legalities of that. But what is clear at the moment around what is set out in terms of the requirements within the Criminal Procedures Act, for instance, for a warrant of arrest, which is what essentially the Speaker is wanting set aside or is wanting to interdict. So there are a range of powers, for instance, that the Criminal Procedure Act sets out in terms of requirements for an arrest. In this instance, Section 40, which we believe that the NPA and the Investigative Directorate at the NPA have set out or have outlined, is that any person or rather an officer, Section 40 states out that a peace officer may without warrant arrest any person, and there's specific parameters that are set out within that. But in this instance, the requirements, these requirements also contain the power to arrest a person. And this is where perhaps the crux of the matter is, which is what the Speaker argues, or rather what the Speaker is claiming that, there is a trial by media, or there's a range of things essentially that she's putting forward in terms of her this interdict, and perhaps to say as well that the legal fraternity or those within it may be better placed to indicate whether this has a precedent. But
sure.
It seems that there is, and it seems that she is within her rights in this instance, and which is why it is being heard in Pretoria today. And of course, depending on the outcome, the NPA would then need to respond to that.
I think perhaps what would be in our purview at this point is to ask about accountability issues, especially from these very important offices. No inclination of evading accountability should be given, especially, again, by very senior leaders who are supposed to be exemplary. Does South Africa have that culture of accountability in the work that you do, Zukiso?
That's a very good question. And I think, you know, using the framing South Africa is an interesting approach to it, because we of course, in this instance, we are talking about an elected representative. We are talking about a very high ranking, member of the National Assembly, the Speaker of the National Assembly, someone whose mandate it is, you know, has both institutional obligations, has constitutional obligations, one of which is, in fact, you know, that is set out within the responsibilities of the Speaker, is to preserve the integrity of Parliament. And so immediately there, we have some clear signals about what is expected from an accountability perspective, not only of, you know, the office holder, or rather the Speaker, but in fact also of the National Assembly itself and the House, in terms of how it conducts proceedings, and the ensuring that the integrity of Parliament is not compromised. The broader question you're asking about accountability, in the South African context is to some degree quite a painful one, in that we see not only instances of lack of accountability and consequences being meted out in the public sector, but now, of course, we are also seeing major questions of accountability within the legislature, which of course, is a really important, area for policymaking, for oversight, oversight of the executive, and representing all of us as citizens. And then, of course, there's the other aspect, you know, the private sector and more broadly, the civic space, as it were. In all of those areas, I think each of us can indicate and raise, issues and areas where we have felt that there simply hasn't been adequate accountability in the face of corruption, in the face of fraud, both on a daily basis, but also in respect to major issues, major instances, or allegations such as we are facing today.
And what does it say about our culture? I mean, as a country, again, I'm only confining myself to South Africa so that we don't have to go in a wild goose chase. But in our country, I mean, it appears in many instances that the law has been taken for a ride and used as an excuse to avoid accountability from the same people who would be very quick to tell us about transparency, accountability, and responsibility. When the tire hits the road, we see something different. And earlier on, someone was saying on one of the shows here on 702 that it would be that many politicians would call and cry for their day to explain themselves in front of the courts. But when the day is set, it's a different story altogether.
One thing I'd maybe like to sort of put into our conversation is that, you know, as an accountability practitioner, you know, our organization, for instance, really tries hard to sing the song of an accountable public service. But in addition to that, that there are rights and responsibilities that we ourselves hold, in our daily lives, we should uphold. So I think one of the disappointing aspects of that we've seen in recent times has been, as you say, major exposés that hit the media front. People are talking about, for instance, you know, the outcomes of the state capture, the Commission on State Capture, seeing really big names named and shamed in a sense, but ultimately that the prosecutions that we would want to see do not happen, or do not, you know, the investigations do not arise, or arrive at prosecutions as one would expect or one would hope. Perhaps part of that, you know, aside from the very murky political interference questions, the very complex, landscape, is also that there, particularly now, and I think you're right, keeping it in the South African context, we are also seeing an investigatory context, a prosecutorial and context in which many state entities have been hollowed out, have really been weakened systematically over the years. And so it is not a surprise that what we would see then is a weakened, you know, weakened coordination and to some extent also an under-resourced, you know, anti-corruption link, you know, as it were, as far as criminal procedures.
Yeah.
Is concerned, whether we're talking SAPS, whether we're talking, you know, the National Prosecuting Authority and its arms of investigations, as well as the, you know, the Special Investigating Unit, which is also playing and has played an important role, but potentially could play a much stronger role in you know, really tackling corruption proactively, but also seeing the prosecutions, as we said, that we would want to see. So it's, I think many can say it, it is a societal issue. It is something that spills out onto every aspect of our lives.
Sure. Zukiswa, thanks very much for your time. I hope that we'll chat again in the near future. And all the best to you, Zukiswa Kota, Program Head at Public Accountability Monitor at Rhodes University. It's 29 minutes after 3 o'clock. We will dip in and out of the court session to hear what's the latest. And feel free to keep those messages coming through. And lest I'm accused of denying you an opportunity, I have to remind you once again that coming up on 702 is your chance to win 10,000 rands. I have to repeat that. 10,000 rands, thanks to Zero. And all you have to do is to tell us about business problem you could have solved with Zero via our WhatsApp line. And that's 072-702-1702. T's and C's apply. What am I talking about? Some examples that I can come up with. It could be that you can get your bank data into Zero from over 21,000 financial institutions globally. Zero customers save 5.5 hours a week using feeds and automated reconciliation. So if there's a problem that you could have solved with Zero via our WhatsApp line, feel free to let us know what that is on our WhatsApp line. And that's 072-702-1702. It's exactly 3:30.